Jerry, thanks for asking me to share God's word. What a great blessing. Thanks for all of you for praying for my daughter. She's doing great. So that's the help of God's people. Let's go to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. You know, Steve shared with us about Jesus Christ as the subject of the word, how he fulfilled the prophecies in the Old Testament. He showed us how Jesus Christ was that main theme throughout the entire Bible. Then Bob talked about the temple and showed us that the temple was this representation of God, how the temple was something physical that could be seen, and so believers were reminded of God, and that specifically the Savior was in there, Jesus Christ, and he talked about the furniture, the furnishings there, that they all had symbolic things about the Savior, the Redeemer. And then Joe took us to the next level with the mystery. After what had been done through the Old Testament and what was prophesied, that we today have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we are the temple. God lives in us. And then Jerry last night with the sonship writes how we as believers ought to walk as we are redeemed, as we're righteous, sanctified, justified, as we have the ministry of reconciliation. And this morning we're going to look at Jesus Christ and how he prepared us to walk in the Spirit. And John chapter 1 is something just fantastic. And I picked John. You know, there's lots of places we could have gone in the Gospels, but I just thought we'd go through a few records in the Gospel of John specifically that talks about Jesus Christ, how he prepared us for the spiritual world. Jesus Christ was God's plan for bridging the gap between the natural man and God, the natural man and the spiritual world. So John chapter 1, let's look at verse 11. It says, talking about John here, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, I'm sorry, it's talking about Jesus Christ here. Verse 12, oh, that's not unusual. It is the subject of the word, isn't it? Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Right here in the first chapter of John, we're going to see several places where Jesus Christ was preparing for us, for what we have today, even to them that believe on his name. Look at verse 17, please. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're going to see that a little bit later. The law came from Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What Jesus Christ did was declared, made known the Father. He made known God. Just as the temple was a physical representation so that people were reminded, had something that they could go to see that they were in the presence of God, Jesus Christ was God's representative on this earth. When they saw Jesus Christ, they saw the power of God. God was so kind in physically having him walk around in the world and do godly things in the world. And then verse 32, let's go there, please. Verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And so now we have a good commercial business that we all have doves on everything, which is just fine. That's really great. Verse 33. Oh, yeah, it says, I saw the Spirit descending like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, remember, John's baptism was water. It says, the same, who is that he's talking about? God. The same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Right in John chapter 1, talking about being baptized with Holy Ghost. Was it available then? No. But Jesus Christ was preparing. He was preparing for what we have today. Let's go to John chapter 3. I just picked out a few. They're all over in here. John chapter 3, look at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, that's a good start. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. He had that right. For no man can do these miracles except thou do it, that thou doest, except God be with him. And that was very astute. How in the world can you do miracles unless it's God working? Verse 3, and Jesus answered and said, well, thank you. Well, no, that's not what he said. He didn't say, you're right. Jesus Christ always looked at things spiritually. Look at this response. How does this have anything to do with what Nicodemus asked him? Okay, this is what he said. You do the miracles, except God be with you, okay? Okay, and then what does Jesus say? Look, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Where did that come from? Did he answer his question? Did he respond to his? No. Except you're born again, no deal. You can't see the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, by the way, kingdom of God, people get a little confused about this in the world. Kingdom of God, it's talking about a spiritual kingdom. This isn't talking about, you know, when Christ comes back and we're all in heaven, hallelujah. This is talking about a spiritual world. Kingdom of God here in Matthew, it's referred to as the kingdom of heaven. It's talking about a spiritual world. And he says you can't see this spiritual world unless you're born again. Right here in the Gospel of John. And why these people get all upset that in the New Testament it's all this born again stuff, it's right here in the Gospel of John. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Verse 4. Nick said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, he kind of did answer his question here, Nick, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now the water represents the physical birth, and then the Spirit represents the spiritual birth. And then how simple is this in verse 6? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. Now the word again, I think many of you know, it's really the word for from above. It's usually translated from above or from the top in the Bible. It's only three times that it's translated in the Bible as again. But in other words, to be born from above. Figuratively, it's talking about being born from God, having God's seed. Well, let's go to John chapter 3, please. Oh, where are there, aren't we? Let's go down to verse 8. Oh, yeah, okay, so here he's explaining some things about the Spirit, and he says to him, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You see how he's explaining? He's saying, you know, in the physical world, you see all these things. Where does the wind come from? It comes from somewhere. Where does it go? You know, today, like right now, it's hurricane season and tornado season, and I guess it's been a pretty busy season this year. And there's all these winds that come up from all over the place. And nobody knows. They have mega supercomputers all over the world that track these things, and you still cannot know if a tornado's coming. They have very little warning even today. But it comes from somewhere, and it goes somewhere. And what he's saying is, that's like the Spirit. Spirit's invisible. It doesn't have any physical presence. Does that mean it doesn't exist? No, that doesn't negate its existence. But unless we're tuned into the Spirit, we don't recognize it. We don't understand what's behind what we see in the physical world. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are going to be back in John. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Jerry read verse 12 with us and a couple of other verses there. I want to pick up from there. 1 Corinthians. Verse 12, it said, we receive the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. And we looked at those, some of those things last night. which things we also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, who's the natural man? The natural man is the man of body and soul, the man that doesn't have spirit, okay? Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually received, spiritually discerned. The natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. It says here that they're foolishness unto him. See, he doesn't have the equipment to receive them. That's the problem. Excuse me a minute. I want to send you all a text, okay? I got a new phone. I want to use it. No, we're not supposed to have the phones on, okay? So, all right, so here we go. Got it? I sent it. I sent it. Oh, that's the problem. Well, mine's AT&T. I doubt it ever went anywhere, actually. I can't get any reception up here. But I sent, how come you didn't get my text? What's the matter with you? I sent it. Do you believe it exists? It does exist. These things happen. We get texts all the time. Most of you get way too many of them. Topic for another discussion, but anyway, why didn't you receive it? Because you don't have the equipment to get that frequency thing that I sent out. That's why. But do you believe it exists? You've gotten a lot of texts, haven't you? Those phone bills, they sure show it. And then if you get one too many, whew, that's really bad. But do you see, it's just because you don't have the equipment to receive it. The natural man has an identity crisis. The problem is, he has no identity. Spiritually, the natural man has no identity. So there's no way for God to speak to his spirit because he doesn't have spirit. Just like until today, nobody has the chip or whatever it is that you need to receive this text message. That you might have something in your brain that you could, but we don't. We don't have that reception. Well, you see, the natural man is impaired. He just doesn't have it. He doesn't have that device. God speaks to spirit, and those that have spirit can receive what God has to say. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The word for foolishness here is the word that's translated into the English word moron. It is. It's the word from which we get the word moron. It's a biblical term, moron. Someone of substandard intelligence. That's what this word means here. All right, John chapter 4. Let's go back to John. You better go back to the Gospels here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 4. The problem with them is that they just don't have that thing that it takes to hear from God. And so what does God have to do? He had to come into physical form. God had to give them the temple. God had to write on the wall for that king. God had to bring things into existence so that people could tell that he was there and understand what he was telling them. John chapter 4, look at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Okay. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Wow, they certainly must not if you can't even ask one for a drink. That's like a bad relationship. That's what religion does, frankly. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, well, because I like you. And no, Jesus did not answer her question. Look at what Jesus did. Verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God, where is he going with this? Water? Let's go with it here. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Whoa. Now there's a witnessing opportunity right there to show something spiritual from a physical situation. Verse 11, the woman said to her, "Sir, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. How are you going to get this living water?" She goes, "Are you greater than Jacob?" In verse 12, you know, our father Jacob, you all remember him. "He gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. It was good enough for Jacob. What's the matter with you?" Well, everybody knew Jacob. He was the progenitor. Jacob, the head of all of them, right? Even the Samaritans. And verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Wow. Jesus Christ was talking about spiritual things. Do you see how he prepared the world for what came on Pentecost? Jesus Christ is the subject of the word throughout. Look at what Jesus Christ did, and it was Jesus Christ by God's command that gave that which we're going to read about. We'll look at verse 23. "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." There's that truth again. "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." And then he makes it very clear. God is spirit. God's a spirit. That's what God is. He's not physical. "And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." How clear he made it. We, looking back, go, of course. At that time, they just didn't understand it. But he was preparing. He was preparing. And those disciples were listening while he was speaking. Go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. There's stuff in John 6 that's awesome, but we can't read all of them. John chapter 7, verse 38. John 7, 38. He keeps telling them about the spiritual world, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Sounds like a science fiction flick, doesn't it? You know, water coming out of his belly. Sounds kind of gross to us. But what was he talking about? We don't have to guess. How lucky God put in verse 39. Look at this, verse 39. "But this he spake he of the Spirit." Aha, now we know. "Of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." God had that inserted in there to tell us he's talking about the Spirit that was going to come. Out of his belly flow rivers of living water. Look at John 14, please. So Jesus Christ prepared them in a spiritual sense. He taught them about the spiritual world. John 14, he's very specific to his disciples in telling them about the spiritual world. Look at verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." How clear, how straight Jesus Christ was with them in telling them of the Spirit, the Comforter, as he called it, that would come. You know, let's read. It says in verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Jesus was a busy guy, you know, fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament for all mankind. He had a lot going on. And just to do that must have been a full-time job. But besides that, look at how he prepared the world for spirit. He prepared the world for what God had wanted ever since the beginning. John chapter 16. Let's start in verse 7. This is the Gospels, people, right from the Gospels. We're not even in the New Testament yet. This is the Gospels. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you a truth, the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus Christ spoke to them of this Comforter, this Spirit that would come. He said, I will come to you. Colossians 1:27, we read the other day, that said, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ will come again to you, he was telling them. I will come to you. I will send the Comforter. He spoke of being born from above. He spoke of spiritual things. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let's go to Acts, please. Acts chapter 1. Should be just a couple pages over. Jesus Christ was God's plan for bridging the gap between the natural man and the spiritual world. It's Jesus Christ. Acts 1:1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. You know what the passion is talking about there? After he died, after his death on the cross. By many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When Jesus Christ died, he fulfilled the demands of justice. His job was done in fulfilling the law. It was done. But Jesus Christ spent an extra 40 days on this earth teaching and helping, as it said, concerning spiritual things. He was preparing. He was helping for what we have today. Look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. The promise of the Father. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Where'd they hear this before? John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing you with water. Why do people get so caught up in water? John himself, when he was baptizing them, says, okay, guys, I'm using water. This guy that the dove thing is going to come and just... He's going to baptize you with Holy Ghost. He said it while he was baptizing. I don't know why people get so caught up on this. Well, it says, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Here he tells them to wait for the promise of the Father, and he says they'll be baptized with Holy Ghost. You know, Jerry talked yesterday about the manifestations. We went to 1 Corinthians, and we looked at the different manifestations of the Spirit. My little iPhone here, it's got certain manifestations. There are certain things I can do with it, and certain things I'm sure I can do with it, but I haven't figured them out yet. But either way, it has certain ways. It's in itself, this thing isn't useful for much. It's maybe a good paperweight. Actually, it's not pretty bad, actually. It's pretty good. But the way that it manifests is these different functions that it has. God has given us a spirit with specific manifestations, and those are manifestations that God gave each and every one of us to manifest each and every one of the manifestations. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. So Jesus Christ prepared them for what was going to come on the day of Pentecost. And it came, and they received. And what was the thing that showed everyone that they received? They spoke in tongues. That was the proof. That was the proof. By the way, anyone in here that doesn't speak in tongues, you could do it right this second. That Holy Spirit that God gave to you, each one of us receives by getting born again, Romans 10:9, we saw it the other day. That Holy Spirit, every one of us can do every one of the manifestations. That's what God gave it. Do you think he gave it to us just so that we would sit on it? He gave it to us so we use it. And there's really great ways that we use it. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. How important is speaking in tongues? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than your whole denomination. That's what he said to the Corinthians. Me, I, Paul, I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's what he told them. Ephesians chapter 6. That's kind of important. Are you doing it? You know, we used to do that when I was in high school all the time. I'd see a believer in the hallway, and we'd go, are you doing it? Are you doing it? Anytime we saw each other. And then we had those red stickers. Those, any of you see those SIT stop sign stickers? And somebody, and I still don't know who it was, somebody took them and they put them up in the hallways. The hallways were like 15 feet high, and somehow they got a ladder. I don't know how they did this, but they put these SIT stickers on those, the little beams in the hallway. So you go through the hallway, and it was so cool. It just this SIT. I'll do that. You know, I write SIT on my finger here. It's the only tattoo I would ever have. I haven't done it, and probably never will. But anyway, I put it here just to remind me, because anything I can do to remind me to speak in tongues is worth it. Paul said, I do it more than all of you guys. I'd like to be able to say that. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not, Joe read this with us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It looks like we're dealing with the physical world. That's what it looks like. It looks like Johnny and Jimmy and Joey and Mary and Kate and Sue. That's what it looks like. But he says here in the scriptures, by divine revelation, he says that it's not that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. When Jesus Christ was talking to people, he didn't even answer their questions sometimes. He didn't have time for that. Remember, he had to save the world. He didn't have time for that. So Jesus Christ went right to the spiritual cause. He looked beyond the senses. We ought to take a clue from Jesus. We ought to get to the point that we see things spiritually. We've got the abilities. Just like my little phone, if I had reception, would have the ability to send stuff, the same thing that we have spiritually. It's by the manifestations that God gave to every one of us to manifest every one of them. Dr. Werwell said many times, it's in the realm of the spirit that I see the unlimited possibilities in man. It looks like the physical world, but we've got to see beyond the spiritual world. And we have the ability. God gave it to us in the spirit that Jesus told us all about in the Gospels. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. What is your life all about? Is it that you're an accountant or that you're, I don't know what you are. I don't even know what I am anymore. But I do know this, that what our life really is about is spiritually what God made us. That's why we're in this world, isn't it? We saw that last night, the spirit that we have, that ministry of reconciliation. That's really what it's all about. Sure, we might go to work and do spreadsheets or mow the lawn or cut hair or whatever we do. But that's not what we're about. And that's not what Jesus Christ was about. It wasn't about being a carpenter or whatever people thought he was. Jesus Christ walked spiritually and showed the world the spiritual world. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He even showed them how. He gave them a physical representation so that they could understand how they receive in the Spirit. How kind and loving God has been through the centuries to make himself known to us. And Jesus Christ even got his guys together and said, okay, here. Can anyone do that? Let's do it. Everyone do it. It was pretty easy, wasn't it? We all could do that. And he said, look, receive you the Spirit. How simple. How kind he was to them in showing us that. He just breathed in and said, receive the Spirit. Let's go to Matthew 16, please. They weren't clueless on the day of Pentecost. They knew what to do. He prepared them. Matthew 16. Verse 21. Jesus Christ was telling them some stuff here. From the time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. Oh, sorry. Matthew 16, 21. Okay. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter, now Peter was maybe Jesus' best friend. You know, it talks more about Peter than any of the other guys. And here's his friend, Peter, that says to him in verse 22, began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. This isn't going to happen to you. And Jesus said to Peter, well, thank you for your concern. He didn't have time for that. And Jesus Christ didn't look at things physically. This was maybe his best friend on the earth. And I'm sure he didn't have a lot. If you read in the Gospels, it's pretty obvious. There are a lot of people that really didn't like Jesus. But here he was with his friend. And what does he say to him in verse 23 to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Well, that's a fine how do you do. Peter was just looking out from saying, I don't want this to happen. He says, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, that those that be of men. Wow. What was he thinking? Spiritually. Jesus Christ always thought spiritually. Now, when your boss comes up to you and says, why don't you go ahead and get me that sales projection of Q4, and you look at him, get behind me, Satan! Might not go off so well with the boss. I bet this really got Peter's attention too. But do you see, you would only say that to your boss if it were true, that was the thing that God was showing you. But that's what Jesus Christ saw, that Peter was not thinking spiritually, that Jesus Christ had to die. He had to go through that. Of course it broke his heart that Jesus Christ was going to have to go through this. But he had to see it spiritually, what God was preparing, what God was doing. There's 9 manifestations of the Spirit. We need every single one. You know, I thought last night something I haven't thought about in years. When I was a freshman in college, I was with a friend, and we were putting this room together to do a fellowship that night. And, you know, we were cleaning up, erasing the board and everything, and we were going to come back later and have our fellowship. And this big old dude walked into the room while we were doing this. Excuse me, obviously not a student, but he came into the room and he started asking us questions. What are you doing? You know, I said, well, we're preparing for a Bible fellowship. And I started speaking the word to him. And he started asking questions. We get that a lot. You know, well, you know, what about God? What kind of a God is he? You know, I told him he was a kind God. And then he started asking these more pointed questions. He started asking me, well, what about God's protection? Would he protect you if something bad happened to you? He's kind of coming closer to me. I'm at the front of the room erasing the board. And this guy, this huge dude, is coming toward me, and he's asking me these questions. And he was getting more and more pointed. He goes, you mean if something really bad happened to you, that God would protect you? And I said, yes, God will protect me. He said, what if somebody wanted to hurt you? I said, God would protect me. And he pulled out this big knife, and he said, I'm going to kill you. Now, you know, you have a few options in this situation. I could think according to the flesh, which was a temptation. Kung fu fight, nope, that wasn't gonna work. The door, but the guy was between me and the door. So thankfully for me, I just asked God. In that split second, God told me what to do. And I said to him, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And this guy stood there like a statue. You know that commercial where there are people are doing stuff and then they stop and this guy comes and walks around them while they're standing there? That's what this was. This guy was like this, right? He was like this with this knife, and I just walked around him. He was like a statue. And I said, John, let's take a walk. And we got out and we left, came back and had fellowship there. Guy was gone. If I didn't listen to God, and there's many times I don't listen to God, but I'm really happy that one time I did listen to God. And each of you has had a, maybe not quite that experience, but experiences like that. People, we have spirit. Every one of us has it. We have 9 manifestations. That's how it works. And God is willing to help us and to teach us. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel. I bet if we went around the room, everyone has lots of incidents where God worked in you. We got it. And God wants us to use it. The physical world just registers the causes that are spiritual. So when you deal with the physical, are you taking care of the problem? No. And we could get better at this in thinking spiritually. Bob said the other day that God's presence is man's natural environment. Isn't that what God wanted? God wanted for him to say, Elkie, I want you to go over and talk to that person. Greg, you better not make a left there. Or, Rich, I think you ought to put your hand on Megan. God does it all the time, and it's such a split second sometimes that it's just a walk. And that's why God calls it walking in the Spirit, that we walk with him. And people, if you don't feel like you're spiritual enough, anyone here feels like they are? Anyone not have any room to grow? God is so willing and helpful. Look at this record. I love this. 1 Samuel 3:1. And the child Samuel, he was a child. He was young. Ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. What did that mean? No one was getting any revelation. Very sad. Eli was supposed to be getting a lot of revelation. He was God's man that day, and he wasn't really that sharp. Well, verse 2, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, might have had a couple of sockies or something, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. God needed someone on the earth to talk to. And as Bob said the other day, how precious few people have had the Spirit of God on them through history. Everyone in this room has or has the ability to have the Spirit of God in you for all eternity. Samuel, verse 4, the Lord said, called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. He heard a voice. And he said, here I am. Verse 5, and he ran to Eli. Well, he was the only guy around, so he figured that it was Eli calling him. He says, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and he lay down. All right, verse 6. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called thee not, my son. Listen to me very clearly. Lie down again. I didn't call you. And so Samuel's scratching his head. What is this? What is he playing games with me? What's going on here? Eli's going, what's the matter with this kid? Verse 7, now Eli really should have caught on after a while. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. It doesn't mean he didn't know about God. My gosh, he was in the temple ministering. He obviously knew about God, but he didn't know him. He didn't know how God works with men. He didn't know about spiritual things. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. What kind of patience God has. God could have said, what's the matter with this kid? I tried and he didn't listen. Okay, next. But he didn't. And is God any less kind and gracious to us? So what I don't get it the first time, the second time, the fifth time? God is gracious and kind. It's called a walk. It's called a walk because it's a process that we learn. And, you know, I've been watching the last few months Naomi Carr learning how to walk. And she gets up, and she's all excited about it, and she just falls over. And she gets up again, and she, like, takes a step. We all think it's a step, and, you know. But anyway, whatever it was, and she falls over. And then she does it again, and she does it, and then what happens? She takes a couple steps. And then after a little while, she takes more steps. And now the freaking kid is all over the place. That's how it is walking spiritually. If you don't think you're at the place where you need to be spiritually, God hasn't given up on you. God helps us. God wants us to listen to him more than we want to listen to him. God wants to give us information. We're the people that he has on this earth to do the things that he wants done. Of course he's motivated to tell us things. So people, let's speak in tongues. Let's interpret. Let's prophesy. Let's get word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Let's operate faith, miracles, and healing. So what you do at once? Remember Dr. Werwell told us, was it first 50 people, was it, that he ministered healing to died? Was that what it was? That could make you a little, you know, discouraged. Then you become like the curse. Well, don't ask Dr. Werwell to pray for you. You know, But what about us? What about us? So I make a mistake. Was it God or was it not? You know, who cares if we make, I mean, we want to start getting things right because people with knives are out there. But look, it's a walk. And as we start walking, just like little Naomi Carr, who now just motors around all over the place, and just like we went through that same process, God is there to help us. And Samuel, it took him a few tries. But look at this. It says in verse 9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Just like Jesus Christ told the apostles, breathe in. And it says, so Samuel went and lay down in his place, and God said, well, I've had it with you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. But what did God do? It says the Lord came and stood. God had something to really say. And called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Well, the last verse I want to go to is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians. People, we're all that God's got. He's hard up, isn't he? But God doesn't think of it that way. God wants to communicate with us. He wants to have that relationship, that communion with us. And he's going to help us. And if I don't get it the first, second, or 32nd time, he doesn't give up. Oh, by the way, if you are born to believer parents, that doesn't make you a believer until you make Christ your Lord and believe God raised you from the dead. We all have an old man. And we all needed God, God's word in our minds to live spiritually. And God gave every one of us everything we need to do that. And so the last verse is verse 13, chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God needs us, And Lord knows, we need God. Let's walk for him. We'll make mistakes, but let's walk. And God will be there in every step that we take. So, can we pray? Glad you said yes. Thanks, Father, for your wonderful word. What a privilege, Father, and just so humbling experience to look at your word and how great it is for the wonderful things that you've done, that your son accomplished. Father, we just stand in awe of your love and your mercy, of your great grace to us, that we have the ability to walk with you, that you don't give up on us any time. And Father, that we can walk with you and we can have wonderful lives of communion with you. And I pray, Father, that you help us, please, that we do get it, that we do speak in tongues more and interpret and prophesy and manifest the Spirit, and that we can bring to this world spiritual results, that we can get to the cause of things, and Father, we can bring your result into the world. Thank you so much, Father, for your love and your grace and your kindness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.